Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
They knew that this one was special, and if they could make this one die, maybe they would get final victory over God and his Abrahamic line.
A crack at the throne.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. If we can imprison this one. Yes, and it looks like we can, under the law. As soon as he's dead, we can take him to hell where we have all the other people imprisoned. They didn't understand that Christ had followed the law. And if you follow the law, you were never meant to die. But Christ was the only one that ever did it. So he didn't die on the cross. He was murdered. Satan didn't realize what he'd done. He has the power under the law to take the life and place you in paradise or hell. Absolutely legal. God set it up that way when he established the law.
Satan tried him by the law of the land that was laid down by God unto the Jews as a whole, the 613. But Christ was walking here under the original law.
Yes, absolutely.
The whole time.
Yep.
So it's just kind of crappy the way that God did that. Very neat.
Yep. Because if you never didn't follow God with all your heart,
that's it.
Then the Levitical law never applied.
Exactly.
But Christ even kept the Levitical law to a point.
Right.
The Sabbath.
Right.
And they none of them could understand the fact that if you follow God with all your heart, the Levitical law doesn't apply.
That's right.
That is awesome, Jonathan.
Yep.
that rounded it up beautifully. All things are legal for the Christian if they follow God with all their heart. All things were legal for Christ because he followed God with 110% of his heart. There was no question. You know those stray thoughts that go through your mind? Bad ones, Christian. I know you've had them. Don't say, those don't cross my mind. I got full control of this body. you're sinning. You're lying.
Yeah,
Christ never even had one of those. Didn't. You know, when Satan took him up to what? He took him to
the pinnacle.
Yes, to what was he doing? Trying to
he was trying to entice him.
Look at all of these nations. That was a supernatural picture also. You can't see that far. Even in high pinnacle you can't see that far. Look at all these nations. And I even think that he was like shown a video of nations all throughout time, even into modern times.
Mm-hmm.
All of these nations, I'll give them to you if you'll just bow your knee to me. You know, that little voice in my head would have thought, oh, wow.
Yeah.
This might be a good thing, Dave.
Right, because, I mean, you're seeing all these nations, and probably, my mind is, he's presenting them at the height of their perfection.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, from Solomon's great Disneyland to America. But the mind is contrary to the will of God unless the spirit is 100% in control. Can you imagine the thoughts, Christian, that would have been going through your head? No, Christ didn't have that, because he fasted for 40 days because he wanted the spirit man to be in 110% control. No possibility of even the minutest thought, because that would have broken the line right there. Those little thoughts that run through your head unprovoked, mm-hmm. without you even having the ability to think about it. They just snap, because the mind is carnal and it is contrary to the will of God. Christ did not even have that, because that would have been sin enough to make his sacrifice not possible. So he passed these temptations. He kept the law. They didn't understand. They accused him of breaking the Sabbath, but they didn't understand, like Jonathan said. He never had to go under the law because he never didn't follow God with all his heart, the original covenant. And he came to reestablish the original covenant. Follow me with all your heart and be baptized. So when he was hung on the cross, he was murdered. Spiritual murder. Because by God's own rules, Adam should have never died. What did he say when he sinned? Disobeyed. It's the only sin in the Bible, disobedience. What did he tell him? He said, the day you do this, you will die. Had he never done it, he would be alive today. Well, Christ never sinned. So Satan had no legal authority to kill the body. In fact, Christ even had to give up his ghost because Satan didn't have the legal authority.
That's a good point.
But it was done under Satan's orders. He thought he had the legal authority. But when Christ went to hell that day, and you know, they didn't grab him and drag him off like they do everyone else. They stood there and he climbed down and they didn't know what to do.
I imagine him kicking the gate open.
Yeah, and they,
that's just my imagination.
Instead of dragging him down there, they followed him. What's going on? I know I'm supposed to grab a hold of him and drag him down there, but I don't. It's like some unseen presence here, and I can't do it. Imagine the demons were really mad. I'm going to put my hands on him, and I can't.
Yep.
When he got in front of Satan's throne, Satan began to shake, to tremor. He had no idea that he had just committed murder of the Son of God, for which all of his power was stripped from him.
And he understood the darkness of every sentence that would be passed on somebody who did something illegally.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's why, about the impact of what was happening on him.
Because when they all got there, he pronounced judgment on them. You're in hell. Yep. You're in paradise, but you still belong to me.
Yeah. He sees himself sitting on the chair, like on, and it's like, well, I can't run to him as an advocate.
Yeah.
He's the guy I just killed.
That's right. So Christ, after he falls off his throne and bows his face down because he has no choice, the spiritual authority of all creation is standing in front of him. He says, give me your keys, the symbol of your power. You no longer have power over the souls of men. Verse 3, chapter 4. You shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her. You shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Talking about tearing down the spiritual powers of the day. Come to Bethel and transgress at Gilgal, multiply transgressions, and bring your sacrifices every morning, and your tithes after 3 years, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with Laban, and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And I also have given you cleanliness of teeth in your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Yeah, you occasionally bring a sacrifice. You occasionally bring offerings. But it doesn't mean anything, because I said to you many times, you must give with a free heart. Oh, man, I got to go up to Gilgal and offer. That's going to cost me $680 worth of sheep.
You're going to leave me $40 in the bank?
Yeah. Man, that bail's so much better. We go up there, we don't have to take nothing. Go up there and have a big orgy, have fun, come home all drunk up. Now I got to offer these sheep. They cost me a fortune. You have to give with a free heart to God. You give with a free heart to God. He doesn't ask for anything else. You'll notice that. You give freely. The more you give, the more you'll have. Then after a while, it's like, wow. Charity.
Yeah. Why wasn't I doing this all along?
Yes. Well, you need $500, brother, here. Wow, my bank account just went up.
Yes, sir.
It's not about money.
Yes, sir.
It's about a giving heart. God will, if you have a giving heart, God will always make sure you have more than enough to give. And also, I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months of the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the other piece whereupon it rained withered not. Interesting. Amongst all of these people who have turned their back on God, there are a few that still follow after him. And he is still taking care of them by surgical precision. Ah, you have three cities there within 5 miles of each other. Isn't it interesting that rain still falls on the one?
And you would think that like the land's partitioned out in like even sections or something where it could,
And there's no rain falling on these other two. And, you know, there's 20,000 people live in that city, but 100 of them still have not bent the knee to Baal. And because of those 100, will you destroy Sodom if there are five righteous? No, I will not.
And that's a shortening.
Yes. But there were not even five. There wasn't even one. You go back and read the story of Lot. After he brings them out, he says, the angel says to Abraham, I didn't bring your nephew out because he's a good man. I brought him out because of you. Lot was right there with them doing all the things that they were doing. So two or three cities wandered into the city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And these other cities, notice that I'm still taking care of this city. They wonder why. They even come and visit, but they just don't get it anymore. It is beyond their comprehension. Follow God with all your heart, and you will be blessed. Christian, I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palm worm devoured them, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And no matter how bad it's getting, in times past, when things got bad, you guys straightened up. But now, it doesn't matter how bad it gets.
You're running to the store to try to figure out what bug spray you need. You're ignoring the fact that the bugs are there for a reason.
That's it, yeah. Things get worse and worse, and you go and worship Baal more and more.
Yeah.
I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword and have taken away your horses. And I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. That there verse that I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. I have told you what you're doing wrong in plain language. And yet you have not returned to me. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have at times destroyed the worst of among you. Even though you were bad, you weren't as bad as them. And I destroyed the worst right there among you and preserved you in the midst of the destruction. And still, you don't come to me. You go and worship Baal more.
Literally says he pulled them out the fire.
Yes. Okay. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. Christian, O Israel. You know what? You're not promised tomorrow. Prepare to meet your God in the next minute, because it may happen. Especially if you took one of those vaccinations. People are dropping dead everywhere.
My God, yes.
Heart attacks are multifold. Young, healthy people. Teenagers.
20-year-olds having strokes.
Yes.
Unheard of until now.
A great evil descended upon the world just a few years ago. In the form of wonderful science. We got to keep you from getting this common cold that's really not killing any more than the common cold normally kills, the flu season.
But was.
You know, it's not unheard of in this country for the flu season to kill 100,000 people in a year. Mm-hmm. And it was on target to do that.
Yeah, that's the average. 60 to 100,000 people a year of the flu.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was nothing different about this except hysteria. Mm-hmm. Yes, hysteria caused everyone to want to have something injected into their bodies. And now more, tens, 10, 20, 30 times more are dying from what was put in their bodies. Trust in God. For lo, he hath formeth the mountains and created the wind, declareth unto man what is his thought. It maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. He has told us in times past who he is, what he wants from us, and what he wants to give us, the blessings he wants to bestow upon us, Christian. And all you have to do is follow God with all your heart. And he even made an easier way. He sent Christ to give you a handicap. I used to be a golfer. I never could break into the 80s. I was hitting 90, 91, 92, which isn't bad, but it isn't up there with the good guys. It's like the normal golfer.
Not the Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, but they made a way for us to compete with the better guys. Yeah. It's called a handicap. If you consistently shoot a 90, you'll get like a 15 handicap. I've been out of it for a while, so I don't know if that's exactly right. So that means you're shooting a 75, which is really good. I mean, them pros are shooting 65s, but 75 isn't bad at all.
Right.
You know, it's funny. I was very good about, you familiar with golf?
Yes, somewhat.
Yeah. I was very, very good about getting to the green.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's three to the green, I could get to the green sometimes in two. And then putt four times and just blow the whole thing.
Almost had the Happy Gilmore moment. Where you're freaking out.
Putting it all over the putting green, back right across the hole, back to the hole, hits the hole, bounces out. Christ gives you a handicap. You come in at an 80% following God that day with your heart. He'll put 19 on it. Nobody gets his score of 100. It's all in your ability. You will be judged by the heart. You're really following him with all your heart. Christ will give you a really good handicap, you know. If you're scoring a 90, it's very easy for him to give you an extra 9. You're coming in at 51, it's a job for him to put that other 48 on there, you know. That's why, Christian, at 51, you won't see the city of heaven. You'll see God's kingdom because he judges by the heart. And if the heart is trying, that's all he asks. There's a desire in there to follow God. Some of us have more power than others. And it comes from all sorts of things. It comes from the internal man just being a strong spirit sometimes. And sometimes it comes from all of your family lineage, the baggage that you're carrying with you. I will punish those of the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. You're a fourth generation God hater. And you find Christ, there's a lot of baggage there to overcome.
It's called a generational curse.
Yes. I mean, yes, the curse will be broken at that point.
Right.
But the blessings and spiritual strength of your forefathers is not there. You have to overcome it all on your own. And Christ will have mercy and he will reward you one day, depending on how much you follow him with all your heart. You know, follow me with all your heart. And your rewards come by being stronger and stronger and stronger. The ultimate reward of eternal life comes when your heart follows after God. But how mightily your heart follows after God, your spirit man, how much control of this flesh it takes and this contrary mind, there's where your rewards come in, Billy Graham. I will never be at the same table with someone like that. I hope for the furthest outpost in God's kingdom, guarding the border, right there where, you know, there's a little neutral zone between hell and God's kingdom. I'll guard the border there, because if I get to that lowest level in God's kingdom, I will feel grateful for the mercy he gave me because I should be over there in hell. And if you ever feel like you should go to heaven, you need to examine your heart. Mm-hmm. None of us deserve it. Chapter 5, Book of Amos, between the lines.
You can be secure in your faith and believing that Christ is going to bring you home, but yes. Whenever you feel deserving of
yes.
it, and that's pride talking
yes.
to you.
And that is a dangerous situation.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And that's why God gave Paul his thorn in his side, because Paul knew the law better than anyone. He says, of anyone, I know it, and I can't even keep it. Please take this thorn out of my side. He had a lust for women. It's right here in the book. God says, no, because with all of your knowledge, you will become arrogant. If you actually think you can follow the law, you will become arrogant. So this little thing is going to keep you humble. And I felt that. I felt a similar situation. I'd read this book 100 times through. Every time I heard a preacher, I said, no, that's not exactly right. No, that's wrong, Billy. I even caught myself correcting Billy Graham one time. Well, God punished me for it. I had read this book religiously, 30 chapters a day for years. And I was getting very bad about critiquing. I wasn't so much critiquing to other people in my own mind. I'd talk to the radio, talk to the television, flip it off. I don't want to hear that no more. Mm-hmm. And he took it away from me one day. I had not missed a day's reading in years. God took it away from me one day. Something happened and I missed the reading. And it was years before I picked it back up. It just all went away. And he put it in my mind to humble me. But you know, it was funny. The other day I was listening to one of our episodes and I was critiquing myself. I said, oh man, you misspoke. Yeah. It was a minor thing.
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, there's always room for growth.
So. I called David from the line of Benjamin. It's just a misspeak. And I said, oh no, right. I have to have God and Jonathan go in there and correct that.
Right.
But no, it's humbling. God does not like pride. Mm-hmm. If you ever feel you deserve to go to heaven, that's pride. You need to re-examine that. Chapter 5, Book of Amos. Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. The purity of my people is gone. And that is not only spiritual, that is carnally. As they procreated with all of those that were left in the land of Canaan, that God forbid them to. And spiritually, they're following after Baal now. Everything in here has a spiritual and a carnal notation. Mm-hmm. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100. And that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10. To the house of Israel. Wow. It's going to take 90% of them. Thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. Interesting. What is a tithe? 10%.
Yeah.
He's going to leave 10%.
Oh, yeah.
Tithe to himself.
Huh. That's a good catch, too.
Of those who still bend the knee. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. You have up until your dying moment to seek the Lord, like the man on the cross, moments away from death. Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. That easy. The heart changed. He was cursing God early on, cursing Christ on the cross, him and his buddy. Well, watching the events of that afternoon, he come to the conclusion, this guy's real. Mm-hmm. And the heart made a change. The spirit man took over from the flesh. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth, Seek him that maketh the seven stars in Orion, and turneth the shadow of death unto the morning, and maketh the day dark with night. He calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. How many times has he had to show these people who he is? Through great miracles. Remember that God that done great miracles in this land over and over, just to remind you that he was really the God of all heaven? Seek him. That strengtheneth the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate. They abhor him that speaketh uprightly. Anyone that follows God at this time is hated. Anyone that's preaching God at this time is hated, America. Dare you say, as a Christian, I love the Jewish people. And I do. I wish I were Jewish. They have so many blessings available to them. Just because of the Adamic line, and the purer they are, the more blessings they have available. Not that God ever excluded any of us. But to be one of the chosen. And that was chosen for a purpose. Not chosen above the other people. Chosen for a purpose. There's a difference. Because God never excluded any of them. The disciples said, where were you? To Jesus after he rose. He says, I was with my other sheep. Mm-hmm. And it's all through this Old Testament. We've shown you this on past episodes.
And that one sentence, I was with my other sheep, that's a sentence that you can meditate on all day long.
Yeah. Like God said to Cain, when Cain failed with his sacrifice that was not from the heart. So what's wrong, Cain? Why is your countenance so low? Why are you angry? Did you not know there's even salvation for you? The seed of the serpent? God never excluded anyone. The only ones that are excluded are the fallen angels and Satan himself. Because they already had their chance in the first world. This isn't the first time we've been here. Told you that earlier. But they made up their choice the first time around. They have no more chances. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Therefore the prudent shall keep silent in that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Self-explanatory. You know, seek good. Get up in the morning and be the best person that you can possibly be, that you might live a good life. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. How many times, Jonathan, have we seen the book of Kings? God says, all right, you guys are really, really doing bad stuff. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to wipe you out. I'm going to have you dragged off into captivity. Your king's line's going to die right here. And the king falls on his face, begs God's forgiveness, sacrifices, straightens the nation up, goes on TV, says, all right, you got to stop doing this Baal stuff. And God sends the prophet and says, you know what? You made a turnaround, but I already pronounced judgment. But I'm going to wait till you die, King, because I'm going to give you mercy because you have shown that you have the ability to follow me with your heart and you made the choice to do so, even though before you were making the choice not to do so. It can turn around in a moment's time.
Yep. And there's so many stories of that since you asked me in the book of Kings, where there was, you know, this one did right in the sight of the Lord, which is kind of rare, but most of them are.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like a evil 5-to-1, right? Ratio in there.
Lots of accounts of things turning around.
Yes, for a time because of that. And the king represents the moral guidance in the land.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.